Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Trail Culture. I'm your host, Em Robertson, and I'm so stoked that you're tuning in. This episode wraps up an amazing year for the Trail Culture podcast. It will be the last release for 2024. I'll be back in mid-Jan with weekly episodes and amazing guests for you all to listen to and get to know. Thank you to each and every one of you for tuning in, for your feedback, for your encouragement. It's really been an amazing year. And I can't think of anyone better than Sean Robson to do the trail running recap of 2024 episode with. He is an amazing part of the trail community. He has so much knowledge and just an absolute legend of a human to chat to. Today we go through some of the amazing performances of the trail athletes this year. We talk about events, special projects, and just dive a little bit deeper into some of the incredible stories coming out of the trail community. I hope you all enjoy the episode, and I will see you back here next year for our next one. As you all know, season 2 of Trail Culture is fueled by Carbon Endurance. They are an endurance sport consulting company, and they really have you covered in terms of fuel and hydration for all of your performance needs. It's amazing to be able to work with a team who understand athletes, understand the trail space, and are working to ensure that athletes can have their best training and racing performances possible. Really excited about that partnership. Go and check them out. The details are in the show notes. I hope you guys enjoy the episode, and I'll see you back here next week for our next one. Everyone, welcome to another episode of Trail Culture. We are back. It is still season 2. It's been wonderful. And this episode, we are going to round off an incredible year of trail running and outdoor adventure. I can't believe that we are in the post-UTCT phase of the year. It's actually crazy. And this week, I am so stoked to welcome a legend in the trail running community. He is a familiar voice, a friendly face, and really just one of the greatest humans. It's a joy to welcome Sean Robson to the podcast today. Sean has just been a friend, a mentor, like a human being for me in the space since I kind of started podcasting, and we've been chatting about this since I think July, and I'm glad we could do it. But he is an experienced journalist, a runner. He has led a Tuesday Trails group in the past. He's an epic MC, a dad, a friend, and this episode we're going to be doing our best to summarize the incredible highlights from the trail space in 2024 and to speculate a little of what is to come for 2025. So Sean, welcome. It's super good to have you. I appreciate your time and who you are, and yeah, welcome to Trail Culture.
Thanks, Em. No, this is cool. You said something about leading a TT group, and while that might be true, I'm more well known as the sweep who got lost for an hour. That'll probably end up in some comment. So just to get out ahead of it, yes, I got lost for an hour in the forest, in the dark. It was great.
Doing the Lord's work, making sure everybody was on track and not lost. So we appreciate that, Sean.
No, it was good times. And I appreciate you making time. And it's cool to sort of see if we can wrap up again what might be one of the more momentous years of the space in this country. And so as hopefully we'll be able to say that every year.
Yeah.
This was the big one.
Yeah, I think we kind of chatted a little bit back and forth about, you know, where to start. And I think you and I both know there's like very official things that something like Free Trail has, where it's like Trail Runner of the Year and it's like very developed and established and all that stuff. We're not going to do that. I think we're just super excited about what's happening in the trail space. Not only on the performance side of things, but also just like cool developments. There's some great stories out there. And yeah, so we're going to do our best. Disclaimer, we will forget someone. We still love you so much. And if we have missed something momentous, yeah, please let us know. And I will find a way to incorporate that. But Sean, just to for those, I mean, I intro'd you and I know who you are, and I think most people listening to this, especially of the South African population, if not international, would know who you are. But can you give us a little background, a little summary of you and your journey in the trail running space?
Yeah, so I suppose I'm a heavily bearded dude who, like a lot of South Africans, grew up watching comrades. Ironically, My birthday's on the 30th of May, and Comrades used to be run on the 31st in this country growing up. And I convinced myself that Comrades was on my birthday for some reason. And so as a kid, Jack, you grew up watching running. I ran at high school. I was a very terrible hurdler. I was a terrible athlete mostly. I tried to go as far as the 3,000. I wasn't very good at that. And then I started running off at university just to keep fit with the guys around the laps, right? You go and run with your mates, 5, 10Ks. Traveled, got into journalism, did a bit of stuff. And then I came to Cape Town to work on a story, and it was kind of heavy duty. So in the afternoons, I was living in Frederhoek. For those of you know, there's nothing flat in Frederhoek. So I would start running up the Jeep track and trying to get closer and closer to the blockhouse. So I suppose early on, yeah, Cape Town, it's a great place to run. And then I did that ridiculous thing where I decided I'd sign up for a marathon, Two Oceans and Comrades in the same year.
Nice.
Did that a few years in a row and then started to hurt my knees and everything else because, well, runners don't do strength work. And then, yeah, one year someone said to me, let's do something else. We signed up. I think my first trail run, got a phone call on a Wednesday from Kerri-Ann Marshall and said, I've got an entry for the Cape Town Marathon Trail Run in its infancy. So I knocked out, I think it was a 22 at the time, with Nick Marshall, and the bug sort of bit. I did the, 8, 9 years ago, I did Ultra Trail Cape Town, the 35 kilometer, which, shout out to Stuart McConaughey, is, as he said to me then, really, really hard. And so then, yeah, later I was going to TT and I bent Stuart's ear for a long time saying, listen, I've started doing some road emceeing. I was running the road club and I did some emcee of races there. Don't you want to let me emcee your event? So he gave me a mic at what is now, I consider us almost a second home, UCT, the aid station there. And I've been in that for the last 8 years. And
nuts.
By the grace of God and race directors everywhere, people still seem to like me making dad jokes, and I come along to events and I try to be fun and cheery to all the really awesome people who get to run races. And yeah, so that's pretty much my journey to trail running, really. And outside of that, I'm a dad. I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, even though the lady at the shops today thought that I was their granddad. So maybe it's time for a shave. But yeah, dad, I became a school teacher. Like you said, I was a journalist for a long time, but I became a school teacher about 5 years ago and I love it. It's been really, really, really cool. I teach little kids, 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds. And outside of that, I'm still trying to get out running. Hopefully tomorrow morning I'll wake up in time to get a 2-hour in and then
epic.
Yeah, get to see some friendly faces out in Newlands Forest somewhere.
Sean, I think there's a parallel between why the trail community loves you so much and your current career choice. It's like trail runners are basically just a bunch of kids, right? Like running around, having a good time outside. So
pretty much.
And you, Sean, I think I saw so many cool posts, not just over the UTCT weekend, but this whole year of wherever you're manning an aid station or a finish line and you welcome people home. And yeah, there's nothing like when you're in a dark place and somebody friendly calls your name and gives you a shout out over the mic. And I saw there were quite a few people who shared some cool pictures of you doing that at UCT. And yeah, I think you did a great job. And what were the vibes like? The kids these days say the vibes were immaculate. Would you agree at UCT?
Well, I'd like to think I had all the riz. so sorry, I shouldn't be making those comments. UCT, year on year is just gets better and better. I mean, RMB and the guys at Summit have worked really hard to make those aid stations something special. I mean, I think they're doing it across the board. Elfin this year was also really, really great. I want to touch on something. I mean, like you said, I try to be a friendly face and cheery, but it's a real privilege to get to do these things, right? Like I don't take it for granted. One day I'll be old and they'll have to wheel me out and hopefully they'll find someone young and cooler who knows the word immaculate and how to use it correctly. But until then, like, it's wonderful to see not just the elites fly through because it's special watching someone at the top of their sport doing something, but I have a very soft spot for the people like me, guys who are trying to make it work with a family and work and play and stuff. We don't know, like our granddads and our grannies and our moms and dads always say, you don't know what's going on in people's houses.
Mm.
But we don't know what people are going through, right? Like, I think I think it's a remarkable thing, I would say this, to wake up in the morning of a race and not roll over and go, actually, I don't want to do that. I'm an adult. I don't have to go and run 16Ks, 32Ks, 55, Lord help you, 100 miles. But they do. They left foot, right foot, they make it work. And I think that's really, really, really special. And it's really, it's a gift to be able to be part of that. So yeah,
Yeah.
UCT was special as always. Brundle brought the Brundle. The
Legend.
DJ was great and the unicorns were there. And I mean, the whole weekend is a special one. But these things are recreated on smaller levels across races across our country, right?
Yeah.
Every weekend, every Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. And Sean, I mean, UCT, UTCT, you've been there for 8 out of the 10 years, which is crazy. So, I mean, you are an authority on the subject, and I'm really glad that we get to kind of chat about this a little bit. The trail space, I mean, it's booming, it's growing. There is no doubt in my mind, and as we recap, I think some of the performances from this year that will just, yeah, kind of also indicate the growth. But how would you kind of summarize the how things are growing and changing in the trail space, like as it stands right now?
I think the space is becoming younger. I think it's, I mean, when I started going to Tuesday Trails maybe 6, 7 years ago, I don't know. It was guys like me, around my age, similar careers, similar things. Spaces definitely we saw sort of the emergence of more women going into the space, which is cool and needs to continue. And then we saw younger people joining. I mean, one of my mates, Maddie Lennon, great photographer, great advocate for the sport, always jokes about the guys doing making TikToks in the corner of the parking lot. And I can't go over there. Don't embarrass yourself, Sean. Don't go over there. But I think, I mean, we've seen that, right? Like Dylan Bowman on his podcast always talks about trail running will save the world. Now, I'm not sure if it's going to save the world, but I am sure it's definitely impacting the world. And even in the space that is Cape Town. Now, again, I mean, I don't want to get too heavy. There's still things that have to change in our space. We're still not fully representative of what our country looks like and whatnot. And there are very many reasons for that. And there's access and there's barriers to entry, but that is changing as well. We're seeing that. We're seeing corporates like RMB get involved, helping guys out for entries. We're seeing groups like the Plumstead Run Crew down the road, yeah, getting guys who are on the streets, you see them running, you say, I want to run with you. Getting that guy into a shelter. Joyous was in a shelter. They got hold of Kane Riley at Adidas. They kitted him out. And the man went from running a marathon to a 100 miler all in the space of a weekend. So I think we are seeing the space change and for the better. And as we see new people, youngsters like yourself come into the space has to change. We've got to be very careful, I think, how we gatekeep things. There are things that, yes, we want to keep the culture right. And I think that's what trail culture is about. I listen to your podcast and I think that's what you're speaking to. But culture can change. And I think it is changing. It's cool. I think trail running is cool and there will always be things will change and for the better. And where they don't, we'll sort of rein things in. But yeah, I mean, it's changed. It's young people with all their own hair, not like myself. Guys
Yeah.
who are. Dudes are willing to take their shirts off early in the run. I never want to tap them on the shoulder and go, I looked like that when I was 25, but that would be a
Yeah.
lie.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's rad.
I feel like it's such a flex, whenever I see, like, if I pitch at a run club and somebody looks like they're not wearing running clothes, I'm like, that's going to be the fastest girl or guy in the group. Like
Oh,
if you're
no
wearing a
doubt.
cotton shirt and like board shorts and like really old shoes, I'm like, that's the real runner. Like the more kit you have, it's like the more novice you are.
It's the Pete Collett effect, right? It's what, like when I first went to Cape Town, Pete was the guy wearing the flannel top.
Yeah.
And imagine the first or second time Pete rocked up a run, it's like, what's this about? And then he smashed him. And then you're like, oh, hold on. So yeah, you've got to be careful, the dude in the board shorts, that's for sure.
Always. Yeah. That and the old Tuesday Trails merch, then you know they've been running that lap for a couple of years.
Yeah. Those
Oh, I
shirts,
love it.
nobody parts with them.
I think another cool thing with just the growth of the sport is, one, we're seeing like new events come onto the scene, which is cool. And I think being a race director, that is a special calling. I think I don't know if most people could do it. I think it maybe is, it looks easier than it is. For anyone who's worked at an event, you wouldn't say that, but there's kind of new events, but then also just like epic growth and change from the events that we all know and love. Like when I think of the first Ultra Trail Drakensberg I ever attended to where it is now, like it's a whole thing. And I think George Mutt is the same, like from the wooden arch and kind of it, what feels like you would like be walking through the forest and like a race village appeared out of nowhere. And it's, you know, at any moment you feel like it could disappear. Now it's this like established thing. It takes up a whole stadium to accommodate all the people. There's all these runners, but yeah, like chat to us a little bit, Sean, about the event calendar, how it's looking, new things being added, old things being improved. What are the thoughts on the SA trail event space?
I mean, there's something every weekend, right? There's,
yeah.
I think when the sport, well, again, I'm probably sort of not quite at the beginning of the sport, but sort of when I came in, you had the Wild Runner series, which was a really great entry into the event space, which for many people knew as the Spur series. Then you had the wine farm runs, right? You'd go out to Jotopia, those sort of things. Yeah. That still happen. But for a lot of people, also just sort of the entry into the space. And then a few more of the hardcore ones. I mean, Puff has been around forever. Three Peaks been around. And then suddenly, I think Ultra Trail Cape Town is the catalyst in many ways.
Yeah.
What Nick and Stu sort of birthed. And then guys started jumping on this. And it's not a bandwagon, because I think guys are putting on events already. Again, shout out to every event organizer. I've been on committees for big road runs and fewer things, not for all the money in the world. And there is no money in event organizing, just for anybody who's out there thinking they're going to get rich.
Yeah.
They're not going to get rich. It's a passion thing. I think it's great. I think it's incredible the way races have and sort of, and they're not just, as you say, like George Mutt amplifies year on year. Like, I mean, what Zane and those guys are doing, I mean, the level of work they're having to put in, and event organizing is not getting easier. It's getting harder. You need not one safety officer. You need three. You need two environmental consultants. You need Sandfox to check in. If it's not Sandfox, it's Cape Nature. And it's not, if you're crossing a road, you've got to pay policemen to be there. There's a lot going on. But I think it's great. There's almost something for everyone, right? If you're just starting out, there's a 5K farm run. There's a this, there's a that. And if, as you climb the ladder, you get to sort of aspire to the next events and the next events. I mean, and as you said, we're also getting more and more events in the calendar. I know we're going to talk about Pass to Pass. That's on the calendar and it's quickly becoming quite established on the calendar. Guys are talking about that all the time. Ultra Trail Drakensberg is going through its own changes as well. There's an awful lot going on. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what makes the cut eventually, because there just aren't enough weekends in the year. That's what it's going to eventually come down to. Organizers are probably going to have to start sitting down and having a look at the calendar together.
Yeah.
And because they're also, as we know, Cape Town is, and maybe if we can touch on this for a second. Trail running, by virtue of where we live, has become quite Cape Town centric for us, right? I mean, there are other events, Car Cliffs going on, Longmores in 2 weeks. There are events happening all around this country, even. It's not just, I mean, we're in this very trail running sort of mecca. I mean, when the Chamonix of Africa, if I'm old and young, I'd call it Sham. But it is really interesting. There's just so many events everywhere. Guys are coming up from Joburg. They're running at Van Hollen's farm on the weekend and then coming up to run ultra trails and Mutt and whatnot. I think it's cool. It's very, very cool.
Sean, do you think we're going to get to a point where your bigger races are going to need to have, you have to, like, qualifying times or qualifying races to get in, or we're going to go the lotto system route? You know, the Western States and Hard Rock Draw just happened. There's people either celebrating or crying because
of Robertson the 25. The controversy, hey?
With the controversy.
I like it. Sure. So I remember this conversation happening around Cape Epic, right, a while ago, that there were too many guys who weren't capable of finishing the Epic, getting entries. So when it comes to qualifying, there might be, there's definitely an argument to be made for it, because you should have a level of fitness to be able to run a 55 or a 70 or a whatever the distance is. And it's almost unfair on the organizers and the volunteers to have to take care of someone who isn't prepared for that event almost willfully. And again, forgive me if the language is a bit harsh, but it's hot, really hard work already just taking care of the field. Now, if you've got people who are taking a chance, because then I think a qualifier, but it's really hard. How do you set up a qualifier for a 100 miler? Do you, and time wise, or is it time on the legs? Is it, if someone is capable of running, because a half marathon is a half marathon is a half marathon almost on the road, right? Yes, there might be some more hills here and there, but you can almost, they're almost the same thing, very rarely, quite closely. Whereas with trails, I mean, not all trails are created equal, right? It's just the way it is. I think we are going to get, it has to at some point maybe get to a lotto thing. It's a lottery. It's just so many entries. They're selling out as we see, quicker and quicker. Fastest fingers first at this point. So I, again, one of those wonderful reasons that I do not want to be a race organizer.
Yeah, that's an interesting one for me, because when I think of something like Western States, where you hear stories of people who it's like they haven't got in for like 11 years, you know? And yeah, I mean, I get it. It's like you that I mean, it's the most fair way. It's if you if it's coming down to it's being sold out, it's like, how do you make sure you're not favoring the same people? And even the elites go into this lottery, and like there's, I mean, the golden ticket system now. It's like if you need to go and run other events and be immersed in the trail community, and you can't just target this one thing and like, you know, kind of obsess over it. But it's, yeah, I think it's a bittersweet thing. It's like, cool, the sport's growing this much that we would need to put something like this in place. But also, it's like, oh man, a lottery for UTCT. Like, I can't just enter my favorite race and like run the 100K I've always wanted to run.
I think also the problem with it is, like, I know there's some stuff around Hard Rock in the US. Percentage wise, Hard Rock is a very small ladies field because of the way the system is, the lottery works, right? And they've almost consciously had to rejig the way the lottery works to actually have a more fair or equitable field. And then as you talk, you know, not everyone has access to a laptop at 8 o'clock on a Friday when the entries go open, or Tuesday at 9. So that's also a really difficult one, right? And I've heard people say, well, people will find access. Well, that's not always true. And you're living in cloud cuckoo land if you, in a country like ours, if you think that it's all equitable. I'm sorry if I've had to dispel any of your theories out there. And again, I'm sorry if I'm upsetting people, but none of these, there's no perfect way to do this. That's the real problem, right? We're not quite at that point yet where we're selling out that quickly. I think maybe do you have to start doing lotteries or rising entries? I think what organizers do well in this country is that they do try to make it as fair as possible. They are trying to hold entries back here and there, helping out people who need. I don't think almost every organizer I know in this country would hate for me ever to say all the wonderful things that they do behind the scenes to make their races more equitable and bring more people into the space. But it's a lovely problem to have selling out, but it's a really difficult one.
I think Otter springs to mind. I think this year they sold out in 2.5 minutes. Like they opened the entries the week after the race takes place. So this is like second week in October. And I couldn't believe it. I was chatting to someone and I was like, oh, you should consider the Otter. I think the entry's open today. And he literally messaged me back and he's like, oh, the race is sold out. Like, there's a couple of challenge entries, but the race is sold out. And I mean, they are capped for Sandparks reasons, 300 people per event. But yeah, to think that 600 entries at about just shy of 6,000 rand sell out in 2.5 minutes, nuts.
Well, I mean, ask you a hard one, right? So we get to a point where auto entries sell out quickly. Do we cap people's amount of auto entries? We say, well, you, M. Robertson, have run it 3 times, so sorry, you can never run it again. We're opening only people, so we're going to always have a certain amount of novices, right? We're always going to have a certain amount. I mean, it starts to become really difficult to figure out. Right? You might just be a lucky human who's fought his fingers first, got 10 entries, 10 in a row.
Yeah.
And that is still, we still want people at events who are the 10, have done every Ultra Trail Cape Town or every George Mountain.
Yeah.
But we also do want novices in these events.
Yeah, that's tough because when I look at something like watching Kane run, you know, his 11th otter, 12th, it's like he started this, he grew up running this race. And it's like having Mark Collins on the course watching Kane run. And he was like, the first time I watched this kid run, he was 22 years old. You know, it's and
As a dad too,
even maybe even younger than that. And yeah, he's a dad. It's he's changed as a person, as an athlete. So there's something like really special about that. But you can't have the whole field being Canes because then no one else gets to have any sort of otter story. You know, it's like I never get in.
That's a really difficult one. And I suppose fortunately you and I don't have to make that decision for people.
Yes.
But yeah. And I think we may end up getting down that road.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about Western States. I mentioned Pete earlier, but Pete had a number of tickets, Pete Collett's in this event, and didn't get an entry. Mike Obrey, guys have got 50, 60 tickets. I mean,
Do you know if Mike had a successful draw this year? No?
I
Yeah,
don't
I
think
was
so,
like,
no.
oh
I
man.
think I suspect if Mike had had a successful draw, we'd all know.
Oh, we fair enough.
I suspect Mike would have been shouting it from the rooftops. He'd be so excited.
Yeah.
We'd all be excited for it.
Man, I think it's been a few years where I've messaged him and been like, good luck with the draw day, and he's like on the edge of his chair and he watches the whole thing. He literally from start to finish.
Well, I mean, I was listening to another podcast this week, obviously not as good as yours, but they were talking about how the Western States draw and the Hard Rock draw were live and how many people were on the stream watching it. If there's any doubt that our sport is becoming cool, people are watching draws for entries.
Yeah, that's
People are
crazy.
in the draw. It's wild to me. Like, I
Yeah.
mean, fair enough, I watch a fair whack of YouTube, but sure.
No, it's interesting. I'm keen to see where it goes. Again, I'm glad you and I don't have to make these decisions, but another thing that stands out to me just in terms of growth of the sport this year, and I think there was controversy around this when it first happened, and I had a really interesting conversation with Zane Schmal, the race director of George Mutt by UTMB, and he was like played open cards. He was like, this is what it looks like to have your event like acquired by the UTMB and the Ironman group. And I think he kind of got rid of any of the cobwebs, that sort of gossip around, you know, he just was like, this is what it means for the community, this is what it means for the sport and what we can or can't do. But something that was so cool this year that I was just loved and it was super successful was the She Moot campaign, where they were just like really punting like female participation across all the distances at Mutt. It was like, we want to see kind of equal participation in across the race. And just by, I think, them putting a focus on that and having the campaign, having, you know, your kind of previous female winners or special stories in the sport talk and share things to social media. And they had it was literally a, I think it was like a 50 59 49% men, 51%, or well, my maths, you can see I'm not a mathematician, it was very close. There was like 1%, but well, quite 50-50, and 49-51. And it was really cool because it was an like a noticeable difference. I stood on the start line and I think I watched almost all the races start. And this was before, like, I knew the campaign was going on, but I didn't know what the final number was. And as that was like my first thought, I looked at the start line and I was like, flip, there's a lot of women on the start line. And it was so cool to see because it's not a lot, it's just the same amount of women as there are men. And that was really cool. So seeing positive things like that and watching a lot of the women who finished, you know, their kids run into the finish chute and you know, their partner or significant others there, and have, you know, there's just this space that's being created and opportunities for not only, you know, the professional female athletes, but for the moms and things to take part, which I just loved. I think that was a massive highlight for me when I think back of memories of this year.
Representation matters, man. Like it just does. I see it with the kids I teach at school. I see it with the people I run with. Yes, you can go to an event and be like, cool, I'm going to be the only person like me there, and you have to gut it out and whatnot. But there is something nice and something affirming about seeing someone like you, the same gender, the same whatever it is. And then the kids look at that and they see it. I mean, I often, again, at aid stations, at finish lines, there are kids watching and they see and they absorb and they reflect, right? And they go, hold on, that lady did it, so why can't I do it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, call it the Tony McCann effect, Ruth, but she gets waylaid by every little girl on that Saturday, Sunday, Friday of UTCT.
Yeah.
Photos, whatnot. And it sends a message to those young women that they can do this as well. They can achieve this. They can go live in the France. They can win races.
Yeah.
And maybe they will win races. Maybe not one of them becomes the next Tony McCann or Howard Stein.
Mm.
But it brings them a lifetime of joy of trail running and running. I think that's cool.
Yeah. No, it's so epic. And seeing people who look like you on the start line. And I think most recently chatting to Chef Gordon a little bit about this earlier in the year, Sean J. Jacobs, but kind of the next step would be for the sport to kind of diversify a little bit more. And that's a cool thing. I don't think there's any sort of gatekeeping going on when it comes to that. I think the trail community is open, it's inclusive, it's welcoming, and I think it's just a matter of time for that to happen.
Things like Trail Taxi are trying to remove those barriers. There are organizations and events and individuals trying to remove those. I mean, I went to a talk, or I presented a talk 2 years ago pre-Ultra Trail Cape Town that Patagonia had on about representation in sport with a panel that included Shafika and Mike and others. And it's a welcoming space, but the barriers are hard sometimes.
Yeah.
A drive in from Khayelitsha to run on Lion's Head can be prohibitively expensive for someone.
Yes.
That's just the reality of the way it is. Whereas I, by the virtue of many, many things that are not to do with me, live 5 kilometers from Newlands Forest.
Yeah.
It is, my access is there.
Yes.
And so when those things start to change and access is available, I think we're going to see again more diversity. We're going to see a lot of fast times.
Mm.
I often think when the road guys figure out trail running, sheesh Louise, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
They're going to smash records. Already seen Prodigal Kamala's Ultra Trail Cape Town record from in the beginning was outstanding. I mean, it's only been trumped by Jim Walmsley.
Yeah.
He's a road guy.
Yeah.
Came along. I think those things are going to be great. Our space is just going to continue to change and evolve and just become cooler and cooler.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, seeing things like we chatted about some of the more established events and even we briefly mentioned Pass to Pass, but like, yeah, Sean, what do you think it takes for like a new event to come onto the scene and be a success? Like you mentioned now, you're going to be interested to see what sticks in the years to come, but I think it's really brave. Kudos to the event organizers to put an event in March and go.
So I was fortunate enough to be at the first two faster passes. And I don't think Ron and Angelique would be upset if I said the first one had some teething pains. It to put on an event of that magnitude is hard.
Yeah.
And they were doing it with a skeleton crew, with like most events, with a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law taking photos and handing out medals and someone putting up gazebos, and these things are hard. But kudos to them. They've stuck with it.
Yeah.
And the event this year was outstanding. It really was. The feedback from the runners seems to be overwhelmingly positive. The routes are fantastic. They had to contend with major storms, I think, 2 days before, fire.
Yes.
The route had to be
fire.
Rion had to completely change the route.
Yeah.
He was given an out by Cape Nature, and they said, you can just, I mean, he could very easily said, no, we're not going to use that route.
Yeah.
And that camp race is cancelled. And to his credit, he reset the whole course.
Crazy.
And I think we forget again what race organizers had to do. Ultra Trail Cape Town 2 years ago with their fire.
Yes.
Rerouting of runners, putting them on taxis. Max, you've had to do it with river crossings. Organizers on the fly. This is not a case of just closing a road on the M2 and moving them left. Things have to change. So I think pass to pass is only going to get better. I think that they've set a very high standard, and having an event in March is hard. It's hot as all hell. But it is in a beautiful part of the world. And I suppose my great regret is that I just don't get to run there because I'm on the mic. And yeah, I think they've added a longer distance again this year. I
Yes,
think
they
they've done,
have the additional distance.
they've gone
I
one
think
more.
they sold out as well, or at least the marathon distance, and I think the 30K sold out this year, so that's cool. And stiff competition. There were fast times there.
And it speaks to something as well, right? In South Africa, we're very distance focused. What do people ask you, Bri? So you're a runner, have you done comrades, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, the half. So, and we are. We tend to focus on the big ones, but the sub ultras, the 35s and the 50s, these are 42s. These are popular distances, and they're great, sort of great middle ground for people. And they do sell out. I think they're quicker than others. And yeah, as you say, the times are rapid with fast courses. The likes of Jacques Duplessis, those like to rip up those courses. Siviwe Ntombi, those guys rock up on the day and chase off. John April,
Yeah, John
Anderson
April,
Ewe.
nuts.
They, these are these courses are built for them.
And I think it's interesting now because Maxi Race has moved to March, which is cool. And I think the last few years of storm and torrential rain, the race director just went, I'm not doing this again. And I think, I mean, the heat does come with its own challenges, but it would be really nice to see, all the races take place on the original routes with no gnarly, rainy river crossing issues or things like that. And yeah, I think that's interesting because I mean, it's like a season opener, right? So it's like you've got pass to pass in Maxi and then moving into UTD. And I think it gives people, like, there was always the what do I do Otto or Maxi race, and now I think it's going to be what do I do pass to pass or Maxi. So as you said, like the weekends are just filling up, but I think that's a good move. I'm keen to see how Maxi goes, being a little earlier in the year.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how many runners do both events, or and this will sort of be the test of what we think. Is trail running cool enough to sustain both very big events across one the same months? I suspect it is. I suspect we're
Interesting.
going to see lots of entries.
And do you think there will be a replacement event round about September, October that pops up? Or do you think something like Puffer would just maybe be a little bigger? I don't know if they would restrict their entries. Maybe that's a sandbox issue as well.
Yeah, I think there are some sandbox questions around Puffer. I mean, I know this year they had some challenges around the routes and they were rebuilding and the roads were being done on top of the road as
Of
well, which
course.
impacted things. Yeah, I think, I mean, Ryan and again, the guys at Fishhook and the Puffer guys have worked really hard and trying to keep their event, their old school sort of gnarly Puffer event, with the introduction of the Puffy, making it sort of more accessible to your entry level and guys like me, trail runs. We want to try and trail run and MC at the end.
Love it.
Was a great time. But will it replace Maxi? I don't know. I don't think they're enough in its itineration, no. But it may benefit from runners looking for an event close to home around that time. And Puffer is great. I mean, Puffer is legit Cape Town trail running, old school. Yes, it's actually 50% road or 48% road and 52% trail, but it sort of gets you in touch with what I imagine 30 years ago the guys were doing, 25 years, 20 years ago.
And a beautiful route, cool
Oh,
community, love it.
rad people there. Eh?
And I
That yeah,
mean,
that whole line lager drinking group of guys.
yeah, and everyone from who, all those incredible athletes who emerged out of the deep south, it's like nobody knows about them and they just toe the line. Like we said, cotton shirts, unassuming, and they just rip.
Just smash, yeah.
And I think we're all still dealing with the UTCT hangover.
Oh,
I
yeah.
am. There's nothing worse than post UTCT blues. That Monday sucks.
Yeah, I go back to school, and generally it's in the middle of exams or I'm teaching, and I have no voice.
Oh.
And I'm trying to be enthusiastic, but it's hard because I'm
Yeah.
shattered. But I also want to talk about what I saw that weekend. There's a whole lot of emotions swirling,
Yeah, you
I
have to
think.
process, yeah.
And I think, I'm not a smarter man as many other people I get to hang out with at these things. But you give an awful lot of yourself, whether you're a supporter or a runner that weekend,
Yeah.
and you see so many incredible things, and it becomes really hard to come off that high or to be off that high. And our sport is so interesting in that, it's so massive for us, and it's so much a part of our everyday lives. But we are the nichiest of the niche sports.
Yeah.
We're not even athletics. We're trail running inside of running inside of running. And so often I'll come back from these things, and my friends who aren't sort of in the space will say to me, "So how was the run this weekend?" And I'll sort of launch into a thing. "Well, I saw Ryan Sands do this. And then there was this young woman who no one had heard of, and she did that." And I can almost see their eyes start to glaze over after a while. And they're
Yeah.
like, "Okay, cool, man."
Yeah.
But then people will come to the event, like, will actually come to visit a friend and then spend hours standing at a finish line, cheering for people they've never seen before in their lives because it's such a moving thing.
Yeah. No,
So.
it's nuts. It's special for me to see. I think the UTCT captured it really well, where they interviewed runners across, not just the elites, like kind of a mixed bag of people, and they put it in that after video, and they spoke a lot about the supporters and the your crew, and it really kind of captured what it takes to support and crew on a weekend like this. And yeah, if you haven't done it, find a friend who likes trail running and offer. It'll make their day and it'll make your day when you do it.
Excellent.
It's next level. And Sean, I mean, to wrap up kind of the event side of things, like where UTCT, every year I'm like more so from the media side, but across the board, I'm like, how can this event continue to grow and improve? And then it does. You know, it's always kind of a question mark for me. I'm not like, will it? I'm like, how will it? Because I know it will. But where do you see like UTCT growing and changing?
So, sure. So I think before I get into that, one of the things that I noticed this year about GTCT, I think you might have seen that Carl Sabe came out to run. And right, for those of you who don't know, Carl Sabe holds FKT, fastest known time records all across the world. Yeah, I think he's a Barkley finisher, the Barkley Marathons, which a lot of non-runners have seen, the race that eats us young. It's gnarly. He could have legitimately got himself on the elite entry. He bought an entry online like everyone else. Stu and Sue spotted his name, or I believe Stu spotted his name in the entries and were like, "Hold on." And to me, that speaks to the stature of the event, right? That elite runners aren't, they just want to enter the event. They want to come to Cape Town. They want to run this thing. And I think that's so cool. Like, that gets me excited. And I think, the event's had Courtney, it's had the single name athletes, it's had Jim, it's had Courtney. We don't have to have their surnames. We know who's there. Anton Kropichka came out. It's the closest I've come to having a fanboy moment in a long time. And I didn't speak to him. I spoke to his fiance, and that was enough for me. Oh my gosh, I'm like one degree of separation. But what's happening is, like, the depths of the field this year were incredible. You didn't know who was going to win the 55 or the 100.
Yeah, it was
Hugo Dietz
crazy.
was an incredible event. 100 mile of the South Africans brought it big time.
Yeah.
And I think the event, how it's going to change, oh, I don't know. But I do know that the team at Summit are outstanding, and they're working overtime. I think they've already started working on next year's event.
Yeah.
I think the inclusion of the 16K this year was a really cool thing.
Yes, it was
And
great.
a little shorter distance on the Friday, again, gets people who are excited about trail running but might be a little intimidated, part of that UTCT feel. They
Yeah.
run on the Friday, now they want to come out there on the Saturday and support. I mean, I met people at the aid station on a Saturday night, like at 11 o'clock, who'd run the day before, who'd then driven from Fishhook to come and see people. I was like, "Oh, who do you support?" They were like, "No one. I just wanted people to have someone, when they came through the finish, like the aid station." That's incredible.
Yeah,
Who does
crazy.
that?
Love it.
And so I think you're going to probably see aid stations really ramp up again, like become bigger and better, more supportive viewing spots, perhaps along the route. But yes, that team consistently does something that makes us all go, oh yeah, that of course, that's brilliant.
That's what we need. Yes. How did we miss it? Yeah. Oh, it's epic. And they do it with such ease. Or they make it look easy, let me say
They
that.
make it look easy, yeah.
Not, but they kind of do. And Sean, I think to segue into, I mean, we've chatted about the events, we've mentioned some people, but there were so many, what I want to say, like noteworthy performances on trail this year. And not just because it was the fastest time, but it was either like the story or the way something was done. And I kind of want to dive into that a little. Was there something that in particular that you're like, when I think of this year, this is the story that pops out?
You know, there are probably a few, but maybe because it's so recent for me. I was at ECT all day Saturday, Friday, right, for the 55. And the rapid dudes came through and we sort of tracking and we saw the guys come through. And then Ryan Sands came through in third. Now, Ryan Sands to me is effectively Ryan Sands is for the layman and the street trail running in South Africa, right? He was in Carte Blanche back in the day, which means that all our mommies know who he is. He's been at the pinnacle of the sport. I mean, the man, I think we tend to forget that Ryan has won Western States. Ryan has won Leadville. Ryan is now in a place where I suppose people would be expecting his career to sort of be winding down. Yet he's reinventing himself with these FKTs and these incredible adventures like the Himalayas and the Namibian coast, the Skeleton Run. He got third place in a stacked 55. And when he came through the UCT aid station, the dude was in proper hunter mode. Like, I mean, he was ready to rumble. And it was really inspiring for me. Like, I thought it was really, really rad that this elder statesman, Brian, if you're listening, I hope we're still besties, but like, this elder statesman of the event, like, was going for it. Like, he'd come along and he'd come to race. He hadn't come to just wave and kiss babies. And that was like a really cool thing for me. I thought that was like a really impressive event. Like, Naomi, Kerri-Anne, that battle that they
Amazing.
had, which was such class and grace, but also fierceness. You know, one of the things I often think about trail running is quite interesting to me. Like, we're a very lovely space, right? We hold hands and we kumbaya and we're all very kind and wonderful to each other. But every one of those guys, at least in the elite level, is a stone cold killer. They're there to win. The competitiveness is there. Like, we must never forget that this is about standing on a podium, winning a race. How they do that is like with the grace and the kindness and that they show is fantastic. But it's so rare to see that people go hammer and tongs for 100 miles and they're not able to give each other a cuddle at the end. I think that's cool. Like and that's the example I think we should be trying to set for children and for a lot of adults. I know could probably use a moment checking that example. Like, we have in our sport. And if I think about, I know we might talk a little bit about the UTD, the three guys who ran most of UTD together. But when push came to shove, they didn't hold hands and cross the line together. They raced to win. And that's rad, man.
And that's such an interesting thing for me. I remember after that, so it's for those who don't know, it's in the Ultra Trail Drakensberg 100 miler. So you have Admire, Matt Bouch, Robles Bason, and I remember seeing this epic shot of them running the 12 Apostles Trail. Like the it was just like stunning. I don't know if it was a Mars Funimadva shot or who it was, but and that they ran 100 Ks of the 100 miles together. And I remember asking Matt, like, at what point did you guys decide to race? And he said he was like, it wasn't a spoken thing. You are running together, you're working together. So they worked as a pack, like, and they he said you managed to pull the best out of one another when you work together, but then there is a point where you need to decide to put the hammer down. And he's like, everyone's got their own strategy, and there's nothing is spoken. You can feel when something changes. And he was like, so he like came into an aid station, and you know, he took slightly longer, and then he realized like Addy, you know, had just flown through. He'd made the strategic decision to like grab something and continue. And I think Robert started to feel a bit sick just before the 100K mark. And there's no like, oh hey bro, we'll like wait for you. Well, there is a bit of racing. I think there was a stage where they were like, you know, let's leave this aid station together and see. And then as it became evident it was time to race, they went for it. And It's special, I think. And some, I mean, Admire has just become one of my favorite humans this year. I think I kind of followed him a bit and seen a bit of his career, and then I don't know how it happened, actually. I think we were like chatting on Instagram, and it was like, "See you at George Mutt." And anyway, I ended up giving him a lift from the airport to the race village, and we chatted, and he's since then is like cemented as one of the greatest humans, like super humble, so hardworking, but like always has time to shake someone's hand, answer an interview question. Like there's no pretentious anything. He's like one of the best athletes that we have, and he's just like, yeah, like this is me.
I mean, so yeah, Admire Mzimpongwa, what a D-Day. I mean, I heard through sort of the grapevine that at UTD, he, before the race started, went around, and for those of you who don't know, I believe Admire is a chef by trade, and went around and thanked all the people who cooked and thanked the kitchen staff for feeding them so well and looking after all the athletes. Now, who does
Who
that
does
on
that?
the eve of
Yeah.
a massive race where there should be on their head? Well, we should all do that, really. But Admire did that. And then I
Yeah.
heard that so the race, like most of these wonderful events, has a sort of a component where they work with the local community. And one of the community organizations they work with in the Midlands is a place called Pevensey Place, which I believe works with people with intellectual and physical handicaps. And they come and sell pancakes and they come watch the event.
Hey,
And
perfect.
Admire apparently connected with one of the people who lives there, who then insisted that he be carried down in his wheelchair or helped down to the aid station at the waterfall, which isn't an easy way down, because he had had this thing with Admire. And I think that's remarkable.
Yeah, he
Like
wants
that,
to watch him
and I
come.
mean, and when you ask Admire about it, which I did because I'm orkies like that, and I just wanted to chat to him and just tell him how much I admired that, I think he thought I might be crazy, because to Admire, there was nothing special about what he'd done. You do, this was the right thing to do, and he did it, and then he moved on from it, and he did another right thing, another right thing. And I think, you know, I'm signaling out Admire for this, but you mentioned Admire, you mentioned Matt, you mentioned Hoblin, all three lovely dudes in their own regard who probably do things like this all the time.
Yeah.
They're just common men, and I think that's a wonderful thing about our space. Again, hardcore athletes doing hard things, working their butts off, wanting to win races, and then still able to just be good humans. And I think that's, and maybe it's because they do hard things that they then it assists in becoming a good human.
Yeah. One of the guys who form part of the trio, Matt Bouch. I don't know if anyone else feels like this or if it's just because I'm not from Cape Town, but I feel like he came out of nowhere on the miler scene. It was like good runner, ran his kind of first 100 miler and just was like, this is my thing. And I think his performance at UTD was really good. And then, you know, fast forward now to UTCT, where I mean, second place in the miler. And I think he led the race at a stage and but was like in the chasing or like the front pack for the whole race. Like there was no I'm gonna start conservatively and work my way up from 10th. Like he was one of the first people who came up Kloof Corner. He just I feel like gave us a master class on pacing and pulling it together based on the work that he'd done, which is nuts. So I don't know if you know a little bit more about like his history and how he's trained and run.
So, I mean, I've had some interactions with Matt, and like I've read his blog, and it's clear Matt is a thoughtful, thoughtful man. Like he's clearly a planner, right? He's a photographer, he's a tour guide. I believe he's on a lot of tourism. He's a man who knows how to plan long days out of the mountain, and plan a production shoot, and I think he takes his running on that to the same level. I know he's struggled with some injuries this year, a lot of time on the bike. And it's clear that he's followed his program, his strength work. I mean, he's working, I believe, with precision as well on his hydration. He's done the salt test. My sense is that Matt left no stone unturned until this event.
Yes.
He came with a purpose. He had a plan. I think he even posted on Instagram that he was coming with his plan. And the plan worked. Clearly,
Yeah.
it worked. Like he followed it. You know, everyone said they took, there's that classic Mike Tyson quote that everyone uses these days. Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And 100 miles is going to punch you in the mouth
Yeah.
more than one. And we took every punch in the mouth and problem solved his way through it. And I think that's incredibly important. And he's an unassuming fellow, right? Like he's not, which I suppose is much like many of our athletes. He's not a big loud fellow. He doesn't proclaim this and that, but he gets the job done. And again, speaks volumes that his aid crew was Admire Muslim Palmer, a man he raced in Ultra Trail Drakensberg months ago, a competitor, came through to run his race on the Friday, and then pace Matt Bouch for the next day and aid station.
Crazy.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and I love that. I think Admire was sitting also lead pack, first, second, third. He kind of yo-yoed between all of those positions on the 55, and then it didn't quite go according to plan. And I think he ended in fifth position on the day. And as from what I understood, he wasn't supposed to pace Matt, or at least not for as long as he did. And then he was like, oh, because my race didn't go according to plan, I could give that little bit extra. The next day, I was like, I ran the 16K and I was stiff for 2 weeks. I was like, imagine running the 55, being in the top five, and then pacing your mate, who's also not chilling. Like Matt was not running conservatively. So yeah, I just love that. And seeing like there were these epic pictures where they are like, I think Admire's still in like civvies. He wasn't in running clothes yet. And I don't know when the decision was made that he was going to start pacing him, but it's like there's lots of chats. There's lots of kind of debriefing going down, and there's strategy to this stuff, which is just nuts for me. And I think someone else who pops into my mind when we talk about leaving no stone unturned and really kind of diving into what it takes is Bianca Tarbatton. I mean, great athlete, incredible performer. And I think she had a bit of a rocky start to her European season. She had struggled with some DNFs, and watching her come back from that and then dive into, you know, what is actually going on, getting a little bit more into the sports psychology, understanding how much energy goes into each of her kind of race attempts and what she needs to do to fill her cup outside of running, and then also to just work on her confidence going back in and having another crack at the second half of the European season, and then racing Otter, winning, you know, just absolutely smashing it, and then having her masters, I think, hand in. She had massive deadlines, and then going, okay, do I have enough left in the tank to race UTCT? And just, I don't know, watching her work on herself as a well-rounded athlete and remaining the super smiley, happy, friendly human that she is, who's on Kloof Corner and supporting and screaming and shouting for all her friends running at the UTCT. You know, she doesn't take herself very seriously. I think that comes across, but she takes what she does seriously. And I love that. She's just amazing.
No, I mean, Bianca's got a serious set of wheels on her. She is so fast. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I used to, when I first started out in this MCEC thing, I did a very small race series out in, right now. And then at sort of Crebeau side of the world, it was called the Green Forest Trail Series. Just two people putting on an event that just they loved doing. It was billed as a downhill series. So it was downhill in terms of elevation, right? You start at the highest point and you charge down. And not a lot of prizes, no prize money. And Bianca Tarbatton arrived with her mom because she's close with her mom like that. Shout out to Natasha Tarbatton. And, Bianca won like every week, got a backpack. Every week took over another backpack. And at the end of the series, I think she very kindly and politely was like, can I have something other than a backpack? And then like you knew she was something special then. Like you could see she had wheels.
Mm.
But she is now racing for, I mean, I might get some heat for this, arguably the top trail team in the world.
Yeah.
Terex has stock themselves with athletes. They can choose athletes, right? And I think just to touch on this, that Bianca Tarbatton and Tony McCann are on the Adidas Terex team is a massive feather in the cap for South African trail running.
Definitely.
There are runners begging to get onto that team.
Yeah.
And they walked onto that team and they've done themselves proud, the country proud, Adidas proud, whatnot. And yeah, she's had a rough year, and I don't think she's been super secretive about that. She's been very open about struggling with that. But she's gone and done the work. But and as you say, internally and externally, there's no doubt that she's got the physical skill set to win races internationally. She had a great, I think, was it Sarah Zienal or Zagama? She got in the top 20.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's crazy.
that's next level with all of those things going on. She's now the winningest, as the Americans like to say, lady in the history of otter, if
Yeah.
not man, perhaps, athlete. And I mean, yeah, and she's just, as you say, she took on a master's degree. Come now, I
In
can barely get
engineering,
out of bed.
she's like saving the
Yeah.
planet as well.
Yeah, I mean, and the week before or 2 weeks before Ultra Trail Cape Town, I think this week's maybe a little bit to be anchored. She and her lovely boyfriend, partner, whatever the young kids are calling it these days, Rob, took on the Dryland Traverse and dominated that. Rob was saying that he could barely keep up. And she looked like she was having a good time doing it. And
Yeah.
that's pretty much the game, right? If you're not having a good time anymore, then probably not for you. And she is clearly having a good time again. And that should be a big warning to her competitors out there.
Yeah. This is like she's just getting started. And I think that's the cool thing, especially now, like just to zoom in a bit on the women's talent. Like there's so many names who are on the scene right now that I'm like, they're just getting started. So
Yep.
Sam Riley, out of nowhere, like
Huge
just
fan.
massive performances this year, winning Cape Town Trail Marathon, placing, was she third at UTC 300K?
I think
Fourth? Fourth,
fourth, yeah.
still stacked field, first 100K, like goes into the most competitive kind of
Oh,
field.
massive. Yeah, massive.
Huge. Rebecca Watney, local favorite. I think she has made a name for herself. She's second at Otter this year. Her and Sam kind of diced it out for second and third place behind B. She also had a great international kind of couple of races measuring herself against the best in the world. That girl on a downhill, she is the Robbie Rorich of downhill running for women. Like I've never seen somebody run down a mountain like that. And again, they both like when you watch them run, they're having a good time. They're enjoying it. And something I love is they're still making mistakes. So
Well,
chatted to Rebecca and she's like, yeah, she feels like she's only just now in the last year putting some of the puzzle pieces of her training together. Sam Riley, it's like her first 100K. There was a, I can't remember the exact details, but chatting to Kane, he's like, oh yeah, and then I'm telling her she should do this or wear this and try this. And it's like, oh, they really are just getting started and they're performing at this level already. So
no, they're remarkable. I mean, I've been so Sam, this was Sam's second UTCT. So last year she was in the top five as well in that 100. And I mean,
oh, second, yeah.
that's been two consistently big years. She's got
Crazy.
a win at Ultra Trail Drakensberg as well. I think, yeah, I've been fortunate enough to know Sam for a couple of years now. She's just the loveliest person, really talented outside of running, great artist. The stuff that she does is was frankly said is really special.
Yeah.
And I mean, part of the rallies, like Kane, like Sam and Mom Maxine, and they're all rapid.
Yes.
They'll dominate if there's ever a family event. And like you say, it's only the beginning, really, as they figure this out. As we know, like women get stronger and stronger as the years go by, they figure these things out. Lundy Hrelin is a great example of that. She's still showing the youngsters what's up.
Yeah.
Rebecca, as you say, is terrifyingly fast downhill. I've been fortunate enough to run with Sam, and I think on days that Sam puts it together, there's no one better. And much the same for Rebecca. And how cool was it to see them going at it at Otter and then coming back to Cape Town and then doing some training together out in
So
the
cool.
hills yard with their respective partners who are also no slouches
Yeah.
when it comes to the running space. So yeah, very cool space. And I think, you know, and then there's the ones, the young ladies that we don't talk about, like that are out there doing things at the 23 distance, Mila Geldenhuys,
Yeah.
who's starting to rock up at events and smiling her way to the finish. Em
Yeah.
Jock, who had a Lisa Pringle Geffen, who became
Yeah.
the first overall female winner of the Three Peaks
It's
Challenge this year, which
crazy.
is she beat the entire field.
Yeah.
Mind blowing. And she's Lisa, so she did it smiling and probably telling jokes as she went
Yes.
along. She was
Yes.
just, again, and we're going to say this about all of these people, they're just the nicest people, but they really are.
Yeah.
Marshall, Naomi Brandt. Just this, the space is full of rippers, right?
Yeah. No, they're proper athletes. I think I've been to a couple of weddings recently where it's like someone in the trail community gets married, and then it's so funny to see like somebody who doesn't trail run pitch up at the wedding and be like, "Where did all these legs come from?" There's just like these like super strong like legs walking around, and
Bulbs everywhere, yeah.
yeah, I love it. And yeah, I think the what there's like seeing the quality or the caliber of person on the trail scene here is special. And then something I love every year is like the SAFers on tour specifically to UTMB. Like
Yeah,
Chamonix, they
seen the
pitch
others.
up, they all stay together, probably illegally cramming too many people into an Airbnb because of the ridiculous exchange rate.
Yeah.
And they go to measure themselves on the world stage. And I think I chatted at length to Monty about this, James Montgomery. And he was just like the what it takes, like the humility it takes to train in South Africa. Also, not as full-time athletes. Most of our runners, I think, bar Ryan,
Okay.
have other jobs. And you go and you're racing against people who are full-time athletes who grew up at altitude and have been skiing or running along those trails since they were like
Yeah.
two. And they go to measure themselves and toe the start line. And I think that's something that's really impressive for me. And Sean, I know this is like a highlight for you, but chat to us a little about Daniel and Tony this year. Just like those are two names that pop into my head. I think we had a couple of great performances, Douglas Pickard as well. But yeah, fill us in.
Just, I mean, Tony and I have been teasing each other for years. I call her Antoinette because I feel like Tony can't be just a first name, but like the Queen of France, man.
Yeah.
This she wins what CCC last OCC last year. It's far too many acronyms for me. OCC the year before, then
Yeah.
she takes CCC this year. I mean, I know she's not coming back for UTMB next year, but she's part of a select crew of people who've won two of those big events year on year, and she did it with courage. She ran from the front. I think that got me. She ran that thing from the front. She ran it, and she couldn't figure out how to get her poles open. And I did a little chat with her with the Runner's World afterwards. There was some pole stuff, so she wasn't. So I mean, I remember the comment saying, "Oh, she's struggling with the power hike," but that's because she couldn't get her pole sorted.
Yeah.
Once she got that sorted, and she was flying. And again, like I think, as you say, someone didn't grow up in those hills, didn't grow up in those mountains, grew up in KZN riding motorbikes and playing hockey, field hockey. Is only now learning to ski.
Yeah.
It's terrifying to me to think how good she can be once it's all together. Like
Yeah.
once, like I mean, she's really only starting to tap it. She has a golden ticket. She's not taking the golden ticket, but she got a golden ticket to Western States.
Yeah.
That's incredible, man.
Yeah.
And yeah, I dig Tony. Tony's a rad lady.
Yeah.
Big, also just a really lovely family, lovely setup. They're all high achievers. I think they push each other to good things and to do good things. So that performance, I mean, is measurably. I think I saw the other day you talked about the Dylan Bowman like ultra runner of the year things. Hey, welcome to single track sort of vibes. I do like single track, Finn Melanson, good man. But she's on that list.
Yeah, I
She's on the
saw.
European list for like trail runner of the year. Like
I
that's
know. I
wild.
opened my email and I was like, what? Nuts.
And then Daniel Claassen, everyone's, I mean, I always joke, but he's my Afrikaans. I mean, Daniel, those English listeners, he is my favorite Afrikaans athlete. Daniel's just a really lovely dude. He's a work what Kane likes to call a working class hero. He's a
Yes.
full-time gig, a lovely wife. He's also got to like do family duties. He's got like family, he's got his wife, he's got parents. Like he has a life, right? He has a job. He rocks up at UTMB, drinks, I would imagine, with most of the beer in Sham, because
Yes.
the man knows how to drink lager, that's for sure, or we see cold CBA.
Yeah.
And then finishes in the top 20 of, again,
Yeah.
a stacked
Crazy.
field. And he's a full-time worker. That's ridiculous. And then and jumps into races, yeah. I see he's on some sort of mission in Drakensberg now, shooting great content with the legend that is Zach Zinn on the
Yeah.
camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I think, that top 20, it's very easy to go, well, it's only 20th. But when you look at the names ahead of him and the names behind him, and you
Yes.
look at the people who bailed on that race, pulled out, didn't get it done, or it tells you just how good an athlete Daniel is and how
Yeah.
much work he puts in that we don't see about or don't hear about.
Yeah, and again, yeah, humble guy.
Yeah, rad
And
dude.
I like, he's got the balance. It's like he drinks beer, no Nutella jar is safe when he's around. He's like, I'm gonna do what I can, but
You will
yeah,
have
he's
had, yeah, I'm just thinking, sorry to interrupt, but he will
no.
have had like the best trail running like career experience of his life, right? In his 50s and 60s. He's going to be able to look back and not regret any moment.
Yes, love it. Love it. And I think yeah, Douglas Pickard also had a good day out. Yeah, and then I think we have like Naomi Brunt, who didn't have the day that she wanted at all, but could like, and Taryn Fanny Kerk as well, but could like death march it in. Like, I don't know. These people are my heroes. They can.
I mean, yeah, towards the back of the field, we had Rickard Mulder, we had Dr. Mike Molyneux. I think Chris Ngaka was there.
Yes.
Another one of my, these are all my working class heroes that these guys have kind of done. Like Rickard Mulder, I mean, not only UTMB this year, but he got a Western States entry, completed that, which is a cool double for a guy who lives down the road and does his training in Newlands Forest and
Yeah.
skateboards with his kids and hangs out. That's rad. Doug Pickard, geez Louise, has a business in Joburg, lives in Natal, somehow
Yeah.
figures out how to run top 50. Yeah, very cool. And Naomi, wasn't her day, but yeah, definitely got closer to it. Yeah, at UTCT this year.
Yeah, no, she's someone who I'm just like the grit, the resilience, everything. Ugh, she's just next level as well. And I think I'm trying to, oh, another, so yeah, I mean, we mentioned Rebecca, we mentioned some of the girls, but someone else who I feel like not out of nowhere, I've kind of watched his journey a little bit, and I see that he trains with Matt Bouch, and I'm like, if you do that and you've made it onto the spreadsheet, then it must mean good things for you. But I don't think he raced this year, but he did last year at I think CCC. But Skye Clark, first at Maxi Race in the 75K, great UTCT. He's put in a lot of work. I think this guy is also, he's just getting started. He's also a dad. He's about to be a dad of two. Yeah.
This guy's a good dude. I met him at TT back in the day. He came along with another mate, Andrew Pretorius, and they sort of slotted in with old school. And this guy's not a slouch. But he's put the work in. This progression. I think it'd be interesting to check his training logs. He, like
Yeah.
you say, also I think he's quite a successful business dude. Got a
Yeah.
big job.
Yeah.
Travels for work. Vicky, his wife, is a rad lady who I think does an awful lot to make things work. I think one of the things that we don't often touch on is, a lot of like trail running is a partnership, like and it is a team sport. And
Yeah.
there's if you're out there training, there's someone at home picking up the slack. So a big word of thanks to the spouses and the
Yeah.
partners who are helping out there. But Sky's got wheels, eh? He's consistent, he runs with a plan, he's clearly benefiting from the time with Matt Bouch. And yeah, got himself a little product endorsement this year, which I'm sure is helping with the way he chews through shoes at his mileage.
Yeah, I know.
And so yeah, so that's rad. And I think, there's a lot of guys like Sky out there who are just on the cusp of things, right? They just need something to go right at a race, need to pick up an opportunity here and there. Again, I saw a wonderful thing at Sky at Maxi when Sky won. He just beat Chris Ngaka. Dr. Chris Ngaka is an anaesthetist. Gotcha. Chris Ngaka wakes up at 4:30 to do his runs
Yeah.
because he's got a full slate of surgeries during the day.
Yeah.
Doesn't talk about it. Doesn't make a big deal. Doesn't have. I don't think he saw on Instagram. He had a picture of his kids recently or something. Family doesn't make a big deal of his running, but he gets it
Crazy.
done and gets close to podiums and gets on those podiums. And
Yeah.
much like Sky, just but the first thing that happened when Sky had come across him, maybe it was 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, Chris came through. First thing that happens, they hugged each other and I heard Chris say to him, "You won. Your first one. That's amazing. Congratulations."
Love it. Yeah.
We live in a world where people don't do that.
Yeah.
People get upset coming second. He was more invested in his friend, someone he shared miles with, win than his own result. That's fantastic. So kudos to both of those men.
Crazy. I love that. That camaraderie, the friendship, it's so cool. And I think a lot of this speaks to like the stories and the behind the scenes. And I know that's kind of how we wanted to round out before we speculate a little bit about what's going to go down in 2025. But yeah, I think this is actually going to be something, Sean, we'll have to get the people to weigh in and do a real deep dive into. But like the stories, projects, FKTs, cool things that are happening in this space, like a crew that pops into my mind straight away is the Trail Bulls. There's like multiple Joshes in the Trail Bulls. There's Devin Cash is also there, and they are such fun. I think I met them at George Mutt last year. I saw them at Tuesday Trails. They are kind of involved everywhere, and they're good athletes. And I think Josh Kaywood and I'm trying to remember who else was part of it, but they did a Cedarburg project
Next
now.
month.
They went, yes, and they
Next
tagged
month.
a couple of peaks in the Cedarburg. So it's not all about towing start lines and winning, but then you've got like Josh Blackshaw. Josh
That's
Blackshaw,
all.
who's like, yeah, I mean, he's won a
Yes.
couple of things, been on the podium. So I mean the level is there, but it's also community involvement, the vibes. I love it. Things like that just make it special.
They're good dudes. And Josh Kaywood is getting a bit of a reputation, I think, as a elite seconder at
Oh yeah.
Al Capitan. He seconded Hillary Allen when she won the 100 miler a few years ago. He seconded Jasmine Lowther this year after running a very good 55 the day before.
Yes.
I ended up having to have a shoey on
Yeah.
his very horrible
Oh
shoe
no,
Sunday
Sean.
afternoon. I think I'm still picking out grit out of my teeth. But yeah, lovely dudes, good athletes in their own regard. But you talk about sort of the space. I saw a thing at Tuesday Trails last week where, we all stuck around. We were part of the 2 beer club at the end of TT on Thursday, Tuesday. My wife was kind enough to let me stay out a little longer.
Nice.
And I was hanging out. And the Trail Bulls, they're competitive, they're cool, whatnot. But towards the end, they had a little shout out to Nick and Josh Kaywood for their sort of Cedarburg adventure. And they'd made a little prize and they did a little presentation. And I thought to myself, geez Louise, where were these guys when I was in my 20s, eh?
Yeah,
Just
that's great.
young dudes who care about each other, care about the sport, and are uplifting each other and having some good banter and doing it. And there's a lot of talk. I suppose I get serious now and then. There's a lot of talk about what's wrong with males and men, and there's a lot in the space. But that was a really lovely moment with guys just being vulnerable and kind and having a good time. And yeah, shout out to the Trail Bulls. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, me too. I love them. And I think more into the crew side of things, we touched on this before we started recording, but like another person who jumps to mind is Mike O'Bry. I'm like, I can't figure out which crews are his, which ones he's a part of, which ones he just supports and goes along with. I mean, the man is everywhere. And I think his involvement with Erin Grohl at Community Track Club this year, that's like making kind of track and road more accessible. He's obviously got the Must Love Hills thing going, and just I feel like that guy would just invite anyone and everyone for a run.
Now, Michael's a special dude, right? Lucky enough to call Mikey a friend. A bit of inspiration to many people, I think. Just again, a really lovely dude. Mike's one of my favorite videos to watch. I love Mike's things. Today, he was running that
Did you
half
watch those
marathon.
stories?
I watched his half stories of running the half marathon in Egypt. I love it. He's
I
got a
can't
foul
look
mouth.
so.
It's one of the funniest things ever.
He's the only person I think it's so far, but I'll laugh the whole way through.
Yeah,
It's like
it's great.
he means well. Yeah.
He means well. And it's Mike. He's authentic, he's real. And what he's done in opening running as a whole, the space, together with the likes of Aaron and Chaim Bunzaya. Mike's got Full Send running as well.
Yes.
Part of that little organization. And then a million other little things that we don't know that Mike does behind the scenes that he would never want to take credit for. That really builds the sport in the space. And then he had a fantastic 100 miler this year. He put it all together.
Yeah.
He ran the race Mike's a legit athlete as well.
Yeah,
I mean, the
100.
casual 84 minutes for a half marathon today while swearing at the camera,
I
or
know.
most of it, was fantastic. And there's other Mikes out there. There's Ashraf Ori, who brings crews through. He's got his Plumstead Run crew. He's got his Mr. O runs. He's got guys on the mountain. He's in various generations. And so what's so great about this space that there are these guys who are just offering up of their own time, their own resources in many, many ways to get people out and running. And it just makes a better space for everyone.
Yeah, that's
But
so
yeah,
true.
they're good dudes. And yeah, again, as you've said, we're probably missing people here. There's stuff we don't know that people are doing. There's stuff
Yeah.
in Stellenbosch. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff down in Durban, down in Gila Gorge. There's stuff in Joburg. Guys, hit us up. Let us know what's going on. It's like,
Yeah, we love it.
I need more time in the day.
Yeah, and Steely Shakeout, Chandre, Jacobs, Julian Vermeer, what they're doing, like, I mean, there's like a walk run group just to try and get people who are, they really want to get into running, trail running, but they just like, most running groups are running groups, totally fair, totally valid, but like there needs to be a space for people to make that entry and take that leap. And it's been so cool for me to see this year people who started in that group who are now running with like the mid to front pack guys and girls. And yeah, I love that. And I think community track clubs had the same vibe. It's like making,
Incredible things. Incredible
space for
things.
everyone. I love it.
And then, I mean, if we can, touching on, we've mentioned these two guys, but John April and Anderson Nubay, the O2 and Massive,
Yes.
two guys who work at a school, general workers at a school, who have their own little running group of kids in the community, and a community that is very clearly financially strapped, as on the other end of the privilege spectrum.
Yeah.
But John and Anderson are training these youngsters. They're getting shoes from whoever they can, gear. They've got a few little sponsors and whatnot. But they're setting examples for kids, as we said, representation-wise. John
Yeah.
running a record at Puffer, even on a different course this year.
Yeah.
Anderson rocking up and running two events at Ultra Trail Cape Town. I think Anderson Nubay is going to do some serious damage to some records around this country at some
Yes,
point.
I
And I
agree.
think it's just great, right? There's just these levels, people just doing things, mucking in. I'm sure you're on multiple WhatsApp groups, but if someone needs a pair of shoes for an underprivileged athlete or an entry or a thing, guys have got it. It's sorted. It's done. There's no
Yeah.
ifs and buts and maybes. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. And I think seeing that come together as well in something that's really established, like the Live to Run
Oof,
team,
so good.
they ripped at George Mutt. They did really well at Otter. And again, these are guys who they work, they've got families, they coach cross country themselves. They're being mentored by the likes of Ryan and Kane and James Montgomery. And I mean, Lindy Farie, who runs that team, is my
Incredible
hero. She is the type of person we need more of to see real change happen
lady.
in the trail space and in the sports world in South Africa. And I think, yeah, whenever we start scratching at these stories and you hear that things of like the work that she does, it gives me a lot of hope for the future.
For sure. And I
Yeah.
think, it's the thing that's beautiful about running as a whole, trail running in specific, but we toe the line with people that don't look like us, that don't have our lives, that don't have our struggles or our triumphs, and we get to share miles with them.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've shared numerous kilometers with people that that were strangers at the start, but are friends at the end.
Yeah.
And as you say, you go to weddings and you haven't seen someone and you just pick up and you connect and whatnot, and guys are vulnerable and hurt, because who's got time to be fake when you're 30 Ks in and you're hurting and the cramps are there and you need a bar one to get you by through?
Yeah.
Pardon me, no one needs bar ones anymore. Everyone's onto fancier gels at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a remarkable thing. And like, you think even at, so I wanted to shout out to the poor guys at Carcliffe who this year struggled with horrific weather
Yeah.
and had runners were stuck in their cars on the highway and whatnot. But guys got out of their cars and helped runners figure out ways to help other runners and other people. And yeah, I mean, and even at Carcliffe, guys still try to go out for a run and get it done in the snow and
It's nuts.
sleet. Yeah, so we have a very, very fortunate space. It's filled with wonderful people.
Can 2025 get any better than this year, Sean? What are your hopes and dreams? What do you want to see go down?
So my hope and dream is to run more than one race. Geez, I'd like to see the sport and the space become more representative. And I think it's moving, it's trending in that direction. Yeah, I think there's no doubt that it's going to get bigger and better. I think more events. I think the events that have already established are going to get stronger. I think we're going to see, as you've mentioned, I think we're going to see a lot of those deep south weapons rock up, the likes of the Ollie Morrises, the Carl Bucklows, the DBGs out there, rock up. And I think we're going to hear lots of new names, right? It's an expanding space. Guys are moving almost, if I can sort of cast it back. Back in the day, trail runners came from road running. Sort of your knees were shot off, the 20 comrades, so you're sort of running around the mountain on trails and whatnot. Guys are now skipping that stage. They're coming straight from Foss High School or Foss University. And I think we're going to see records smashed. I think we're going to see times come down. And I think we're going to see lots of new people on the scene. And I think that's cool. I think it's going to be rad. And I think we'll see some races maybe stick around. Others might not make it in the next couple of years. Who knows? But yeah, and lots more crews, because that seems to be the one thing that's happening. Lots more crews.
The run clubs know no ends or bounds.
Trail Tinder, baby. Trail Tinder.
Oh, that's a good stuff. I had a fun chat in Bolelo about that at George Mutt. I was like, it is what it is. What a great place to find a partner. Fit,
Amen.
gets up early, down for an adventure, coffee and croissants, the whole thing. It's
I have a friend who, a lady I missed dearly, an old trail running friend, who used to take all her first dates on a trail run or a hike, and if they couldn't make it, that there was no second date.
That was
Worked
the
out for her.
selection process.
It's a tight selection process, but if you can't run up Castile Sport and come down Bloody Club, not for you.
Oh, I love it. Well, before I let you go, I'm excited for 2025. I think we're just scratching the surface, not only with the performances, but with like real differences being made in communities and people's lives through the sport. There's lots of things that I would love to see. I would love to see a South African dip under the Otter sub-4 record. I would love to see Johan van Heerden come back onto the scene. I've missed him in the trail running space this year. There's a couple of things that I'm pumped about, but our classic round off question for most guests, and we'll have to have you on for your personal episode, but it's what is something that you've read recently that's inspired you? Let's leave the people with something inspirational.
So I knew this was coming, and I felt terrible because I don't get a chance to read anymore. And the last book I read was really pulpy. But there's this thing that always occurs to me. I read it once, and it stuck with me. And something in lines of, we've all sat at fires, warmed ourselves at fires that we didn't make, and eaten from pots of food that we didn't make or cook good. It's a lot more erudite than I've just phrased it. But it reminds me that almost nothing that we have comes solely from ourselves. And, when I first ran Comrades, people said to me, "Comrades will change your life." And I finished the 90 kilometers, and it didn't change my life. Nothing happened. No bells went off. I shuffled through. They put a medal around my neck, and I went to find my parents. But running has, in many ways, changed my life. I get to go to events. I get to see people cool, do rad things. I get to meet cool people like you and have these conversations. And that's not through just the works of what I've done. It's a team sport. Like, in many ways, it's a team sport. And I think if that's that little phrase encapsulates that for me. If we can remember that and do the best we can with that, then I think things will be all right.
Special. I love it. Sean, you're the best. I am super pumped that I'll get to see more of you next year, emceeing, and we're going to have that braai that we chatted about. Stoked for that one. And
Everyone's welcome.
it's epic. Sean's the only guy who you'll meet, and he'll invite you to his house for a meal straight away. Love it. And I'm excited to see you on course and finish lines, but also start lines. It'll be nice to see you line up to rip yourself. And yeah,
No.
thanks for being a friend of the podcast and for taking time out of your weekend to record this. What a legend.
I appreciate you having me, and it's always good to be a running nerd. Like this is one of my favorite things, just to talk about the cool things that we get to see and do. And I've said this to you before, but yeah, you're doing good things, and it's only going to get better and better. And I think you should know that, like, people dig what you're doing and dig who you are, and
Thanks, Sean.
don't stop. Keep doing it as long as you dig it. And yeah, we'll see you at a race sometime soon. Enjoy
Epic.
America.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Sean.
Peace.
There you have it, folks. The 2024 trail running season and year in review. I hope you all enjoyed the episode and some of the thoughts and insights from Sean. Really such a privilege to have him on the podcast. Thanks so much, Sean, for your time. I will see you all next year for our next episode. And once again, special thanks to Carbon Endurance for fueling the fire and just supporting the podcast. I wouldn't have been able to bring it to the place that it is without you guys. So shout out to you all and happy holidays, everybody.